If you would turn in your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 3. How many need an outline tonight? We have these available. We got a couple over here on my right. Mike did a good job getting these out. Appreciate it. We got a few. If you need one over here, raise your hand. Miss Kathy, anybody on my left need a handout? All right. So, if you got a pencil or a pen, maybe you can grab to fill in these blanks as we go through them. We'll go through in just a moment, but I want to read these verses together. Could I have some help? Somebody that can read out loud, help me read these verses. So we're going to start off with 1 John 3:2. All right, Kathy's going to take 1 John 3:2. Just wait. All right. Who could take 2 Corinthians 3:18? Can somebody take 2 Corinthians? I saw Dan's hand there. 2 Corinthians. All right, Philippians 1:6. Philippians. All right, Kathy, Lester, who could take Philippians 3:12? Anybody want to take 3:12? Jake. All right, and then last here, Romans 8:29. Does anybody want to take 8:29? All right, Donna. So we just remember to read out loud. Hear as loud as you possibly can for everyone to hear. And what I want you to do as these verses are being read, I want you to think about this. After they read them all, I'm going to ask you what you believed was a common thread throughout these verses. Now, there may be several common areas, but I want you to think through that and see what that common thread might be. Let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll start reading the verses. Father, thank you for the young people tonight. What an encouragement they were. And Lord, I pray that we would take heed, even in the challenge that Thomas brought us about anger. I pray we would not be angry people, oh God, but that we would be people filled with the Spirit. Oh, God, help us in this. I know I need your help, and I come to you tonight, even as we look at this lesson. Lead us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2.
Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is.
Amen. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 3:18.
But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen. All right. Philippians 1:6.
Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Philippians 3:12.
Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ.
Amen. And then our last verse is Romans 8:29. All right, so we're going to ask, what was a common theme throughout those verses?
God does the work in us.
That's true. That's one right there. There are several. God does the work in us as we respond to Him. What else did you see in those verses as a common theme? Anybody else? Billy? Transformation. Good. Okay, good. Transformation. Anybody else? These are all good and they're all right. Anybody else have a thought there? This goes along with transformation, but we see Christian growth, don't we? We see Christians growing. But what's also implied in these verses tonight that we could all guess is that none of us have arrived. Did you get that through these verses? We're all growing. We're being conformed, being confident. God that has begun the work, He's continuing it. And as you saw 1 John 3, we're not going to be like Jesus exactly until we see Him. at that coming. We shall be like Him completely. That is, in Christ's likeness. We will be that way. But we're all flawed right now. We have shortcomings, don't we? And as we look at the study through this book, that's been such a blessing to your pastor and a help to me. I'm just sharing some things that have been dear to my heart as I think about walking with the Lord as a clay pot that has cracks, a clay pot, but thank God, a clay pot that has a treasure within. And that treasure is the gospel. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Him that we have within. And the Holy Spirit is there to shine the light of Christ out of that treasure. He does that. We are all a work in progress. I was telling Brother Don a minute ago, so good to see him here tonight, but we were just talking. I said, I was telling him, we're all a work in progress. You know, we're kind of like those construction sites, areas that you go through on the road where it says, slow work in progress. That's what we need to tell people. Slow down. You're in a construction area right here. You know, because we are in so many ways. Are we not? That's us. But God's working on us. And you know, there's not a person in here that ever needs to be satisfied where they are falling short. That's not the point. We're not satisfied with that. We're just admitting it, that it's a reality. But the verses say we're pressing forward. We're taking steps. We're making progress. And we're a church. And a church is a place where God's people come. But this is something that has really stood out to me as I've studied this truth here. Sometimes we get the idea that just because we come to church, that everybody has it all together. Or that we're supposed to convey that. But it's the furthest from the truth. You may be blood bought, and I hope you are, by the blood of Jesus Christ being born again. You may have the new nature, the Holy Spirit in you, and I hope you do, and I hope we all do. And I hope we're striving to walk in the Spirit. But even as God's children, even as the family of God right here in Crooked Creek Baptist Church, and you could say this about any congregation, we are flawed people. We're going to disappoint each other at times. There's going to be letdowns. It's just the nature of the church. And I believe there's some things that we need to grow from that, because if we're not careful, just like with a family, it just takes, as Thomas preached tonight, it takes forgiveness, forbearance, long-suffering, preferring one another. It's absolutely a necessity as we're all growing together. So let's fill in a few blanks here just to kind of go with that thought. This first one is learn love when the church hurts you. Learn love when the church hurts you. Now, the church there is speaking of believers that make up a body. There will be times where you get hurt. I mean, I've been married to Joanna for going on 19 years, and there have been times that I've hurt her, and there have been times that she's hurt me, that we just offended each other. But that doesn't mean we, you know, same with children. We're teaching that now. And I think it's so important in a local church. We must learn love, because there will be times where we let each other down. Well, didn't meet an expectation that we had, or whatever the case may be. Again, this is not all about just being mediocre and just simply, okay, I'm not perfect, so who cares? No, it's like, I'm not perfect, but I want to grow in grace. I do want to mature in Christ. That is the goal. But we must learn that. Look at this next fill in the blank. Any discussion of church imperfections must begin with a mirror. That statement was taken right out of the book, and it hit me just like it probably hit you just now. It begins looking in the mirror, because we, again, are flawed people, aren't we? I fell short. You fall short. I realize that the Lord is doing a work in my life, and He's doing a work in yours. And I have noticed that if we're not careful, a trend of a believer can be more harsh in judging others than he is judging himself. And we have to be careful not to do that. We have to really hold ourselves first in the light and realize how God looks at us. He does see our imperfections, but he still works with us. Aren't you glad for that? Notice this next fill in the blank. We recognize that the church Christ loved and died for did not start as the upgraded bride. The word there is bride. You know, we're several metaphors in scripture in referring to the church, and that one of them is the bride. But you know, when Jesus saved us, the Bible's clear that we were not very pretty. We weren't pretty at all. We were, in fact, very, very wicked, ugly people towards God. That's why it says, but God commendeth His love. He demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So He died for His bride when she didn't have anything to offer. But He loved us anyway. And now, as His bride, we are now, as those verses we read, we are being prepared to meet the groom. The bride is preparing to meet the Savior. That's what we call sanctification. We're all growing. It's a process. There are days we're making better strides than others, and certain years where we're making better strides than others. But we should always be looking, Lord, make me more like Jesus. That's what the verses were talking about. We are striving to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are, as Ephesians talks about with the analogy of the husband and as he should treat his wife, that Paul talks about how she is that bride that is being prepared for that wedding day. And that's who we are. We're being prepared. So this next statement, I made this one super easy for you, but it's this. The Lord's bride is made up of an imperfect pastor leading imperfect people in an imperfect church to reach an imperfect world. Think about that. Imperfect, all four blanks, because that's exactly what we are. But thank God, we know for sure today, all those are imperfect, but we serve and we worship a perfect God, a perfect Savior, a perfect shepherd, a perfect friend. His name is Jesus, and the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and the perfect one. But the fact of the matter is, we are learning, aren't we? I mean, let's don't forget, I may be saying this wrong, and forgive me if I am, but I don't mean to be irreverent or sacrilegious at all, but we all understand what the human race mascot is, don't you? Do you know what the humankind, do you know what our mascot is? Sheep. Sheep. That's who we are related to in the scriptures. We are like sheep, but we are sheep that God loves. And as I've said to the church before, listen, God did not die for us because we are worthy. It's the other way around. We are worthy because God died for us. That made us worthy. He didn't look down at Britson Jennings or Kathy Hoyt or Nathan Ellington or Debbie Jamansky and say, yeah, oh man, yeah, I'm getting a good one right there. No. No. He did not. And then we could say that about every one of us. No, he's getting a bad one, but guess what? He's going to take every one of these bad ones, every human being, bad in our nature. We were born the nature of wrath, the children of wrath. But God says, when you respond in faith, I'm going to give you my righteousness. And then in this life here on earth, I'm going to make you more and more like Jesus. That's what He's doing. But the question is, are we letting God have His way? Are we allowing God to just be the potter and we be the clay? And letting Him mold us and make us with the different things in life that He's doing. And realizing that, yes, there are flaws, certainly in each of our lives. We're not content with them. We recognize them. But we practice, as we talked about last week, how really repentance stokes resilience. It's what we would call the daily habit of repenting daily, turning from our way, turning to the Lord's way. So let's be encouraged tonight that we're all a work in progress, but let's let the work keep happening. Because one day we will be like Him. Let's pray.